You're listening to Malice After Midnight. The following podcast contains subject matter that may be disturbing to some listeners. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts and not of the sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. And now, Malice After Midnight with Tina, Steve, and Christine.
Hello, hello. Tonight we're going to be talking about Omaima Nelson. Omaima grew up in Egypt and she lived a very poor life. She grew up in a very abusive household. Her father was both mentally and physically abusive to her and her mother. And living in Egypt, they had certain ceremonies that they did, and Omaima was not exempt from those. She was actually held down at the age of 7 by the women in her family, and they performed a female circumcision on her.
Ouch.
We all know what a male circumcision is. A female circumcision is actually a lot more painful.
It's much worse.
Yeah, you know, boys have it usually when they're born, or, you know, if they do have it later in life, it's just a couple of sore, you know, little soreness for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. But they actually completely cut the clitoris off of, in this case, Omaima as a child. And it's very painful because it is painful at the time, but also you can develop scar tissue. Mm-hmm. It leaves the female where she doesn't enjoy any kind of sexual intercourse at all and completely just takes the pleasure out of it. So it's a very extremely horrific procedure.
Yeah.
As she got older, her mother did divorce her father. They still remain poor. Omaima grew up to be a very beautiful young woman. She, you know, dated and, you know, did the whole scene of, you know, living a teenage life until she met a man that came to Egypt from Texas. And he actually was, he worked in the oil industry. I don't know if he was working on oil rig or whatever, but as a young adult, they just hit it off. And her mother actually encouraged her to go with him back to the States. So she did. She came to the United States with this man, and they got married. Okay, well, they settled down, and the marriage didn't last very long, so they got divorced. And, you know, she did what she could do here as a new American, a foreigner to this country, probably didn't speak a lot of English. And if she did, it was probably broken English. Right. And like I said, she was a beauty, so she did some modeling, and she did some housekeeping and did some, you know, nanny work, which is a lot of what young people do. And, you know, she hit the dating scene and had a string of boyfriends who all just found her beautiful as she was. A lot of times, though, she dated a variety of men as far as, like, age-wise. You know, she had some young boyfriends, but she also had older boyfriends. And that was there because they, I guess, they would take care of her and were proud of her. You know, mm-hmm. They had this young mm-hmm. thing on their arm, you know.
So they were, like, sugar
daddies. Oh, yeah, sugar daddies.
Oh, I'm sure that's how she saw it, yeah.
And they would, you know, take care of her and give her what she needed. A few years after being in the country, she met a man named Bill Nelson. Now, Bill was just this larger-than-life figure. He had a big old belt buckle, you know, wore the plaid shirts, big old cowboy
big classic
boots.
Texan.
Oh, yeah.
Say,
yeah,
big cowboy hat, you know, and just thought
folks
she
back
was
home
just
call me Longhorn. Sorry.
He just thought she was everything, you know. I mean, she was so beautiful and he's proud of her. And
yeah,
but let me stop right there and also paint the fact that at this time Omaima was 23, mm-hmm. Bill was 56.
Oh
wow.
So
Paul.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to throw in there that she has some older boyfriends and Bill was one of the older ones. So he, you know, took care of her, and everybody that said that they saw them together said that they were just like two lovebirds. So, you know, they like to party, like to hit the bar scene, and they like to drink, you know, so they had that in common. They didn't have
a whole lot more in common.
No, they didn't have a whole lot in common, especially that age gap, you know. But yeah, one thing they did have in common was a criminal record.
Oh.
Nice.
Bill, yeah. He used to be a He used to be a pilot, and he got busted for bringing a huge shipment of marijuana back into the States. So I think he served like a few years, you know, in prison for that.
Wow.
Lost his pilot license.
Before he was with her, did that happen?
Yeah, this is before he was with her.
Okay.
He then started working on computers and things like that and fixing things and selling computer parts. Omima, she, you know, got in trouble for some petty theft and, you know, some assault. I know that it didn't say it was in a mall, but I'm thinking mall because, you know, in the 80s, this was so big, and in the 90s. But she was caught shoplifting and two security guards approached her, which makes me think mall, you know, security guard. But she fought, and they said she nearly completely bit the breast off of one of the security guards. And she just straight up punched.
Like, bit, like a female security guard? Or?
Yeah. What the hell?
So, I mean, that's, like, got to be more than one bite to take off a whole breast.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
maybe it was just a couple of bites.
Wait, is this biting of the breast might be some foreshadowing?
Dun, dun, dun. Maybe. And then she just straight up, like, punched the other one in the crotch and, like, took her down. So, you know, she got in trouble for that. So, they both had little
She's scrappy.
Oh, yeah, she's a scrapper. So, that's about, I think, the extent of what they had in common. Bill did have a red Corvette that he used to love to drive around. And she seemed to like it, too, because there's pictures of her posing on the Corvette, you know, and beside it and all kinds of things. So yeah, they hit it like off so much that they actually got married and they moved back into Bill's apartment. And it wasn't like a small apartment, but it wasn't huge. And a lot of Bill's computer equipment, you know, had taken up some of the room. So I don't know how big it was, but he did want to introduce her to his family. And he was so proud of her, you know, like I said, she was a beauty and he wanted to show her off. So he took
her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He took her to, well, you know, she had an exotic look too, so.
Yeah.
He took her to his family, you know, his kids, to meet them, and they weren't really too impressed with her, I'm guessing.
Probably because they're the same age.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're probably about the same age. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't see them wanting to call her stepmom or mom. But they did some horseback riding, and Omima actually got bucked off the horse. And they were worried about her. You know, they said, well, you need to go to the hospital. You need to seek medical attention. And she's like, no, I'm fine. Just give me something for the pain. Give me something strong to drink and I'll be all right. Mm. And that really kind of, you know, impressed them enough where they thought, you know, she's tough. You know, maybe she's all right. So that probably put her up at like notch one in their book.
Yeah.
That cough was brought to you by Tina.
Anyway, so, you know, they went back home and didn't do too bad with the family. And, you know, Thanksgiving was rolling up and that was the holiday they were getting ready to celebrate. And I'm not sure, I had read, you know, and saw a couple of things where it said that, you know, he had called his daughter, but I'm not sure if it was before the meal and he was telling her what they were going to have. And actually, I take that back. He invited her to dinner, so I guess, duh, yeah, yeah, it was before. And she turned down the invitation. She didn't want to come. And that's actually the last time anyone ever heard from Bill. Now, you know, Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday, but that year it actually happened to be on November the 28th. So fast forward to December 1st. So Omima goes to an ex-boyfriend's house, and she just bangs on the door just furiously, just frantically beating on the door.
I feel like we're missing something. You went from his daughter. That's the last time anybody heard from him.
Yeah, and she said fast forward to December.
Oh, gotcha. Continue.
Okay, let me start that over.
Let's wash that away clean. Go ahead, Tina. You go, girl.
So Omima goes over to an ex-boyfriend's house, and she's just furiously just banging on the door. And he looks outside, and he sees a red Corvette, but he doesn't recognize it.
Figures it's a douchebag out in the parking lot with his Corvette.
So, yeah, he doesn't answer the door and just waits and waits, and finally the knocking stops. A few hours later, it begins again, just furiously, just frantically banging on the door. This time he goes and he looks out the window and sees Omima standing there. And like I said, it was an ex-boyfriend, so I'm sure that he didn't expect to see her, you know, of all people out there.
Yeah.
He lets her in, and she's just crying and just hysterical, and she's got blood on her, and she's scratched, you know, in different places and got cuts. He tries to calm her down as best he can, and she just lays it all out for him, and she says, "I need your help." And he's, you know, what do you need my help with? And she says, "Well, I was married for about a month to Bill Nelson, and he's not the man I thought he was. He started abusing me. He raped me, and
is
I just couldn't."
Even, I mean, is there any truth to that? Was there any kind of accounts of that really being happening, or is that just her excuse?
Well, it's her excuse, and they prove all that.
Oh, okay.
And we'll get to that in just a minute,
jump ahead.
Steve. You're fine.
More with Tina, Steve, and Christine on Malice After Midnight coming up.
This week's episode is sponsored by J&W Soaps. From building the recipe for each batch to constructing the design for each bar, their handmade soaps are sure to please. Check them out at jnwsoaps.com and use the code MALICE15 to get 15% off your online order of two or more items.
And now more of Malice After Midnight with your hosts, Tina, Steve, and Christine.
She says, you know, he even raped me so I couldn't take anymore, so I killed him. And what I need from you is I need you to help me to dispose of the body.
Yeah, sure. Let me drop what I'm doing.
Yeah, let me get right on that. So he stays calm and he calms her down and he tells her, look, I need you to stay here. Okay. I'm going to leave. And of course, she's like, don't leave me. I need your help. Please just listen. Don't leave. I'll make it worth your while. Okay. I'm going to give you $75,000 and two motorcycles.
Ooh.
Not just one, but two.
Yeah, so that just totally sweetened the pot. Mm-hmm. You know, we know people that have done stuff for a lot less than...
We don't personally know people.
No, we don't personally know people. We've read about them or
heard about them on TV. We know of people.
He leaves and he tells her, I'm going to go get a truck. You know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. Yeah, I got you. Let me go. I'll be right back. But stay here. So she does.
She stayed at his place.
She stayed at his apartment.
Oh, okay.
And he drove straight to a payphone, and he called the police. So
good for him.
Yeah, good for him. That's what I was thinking.
Two motorcycles wasn't enough. Three, maybe he would have. Two wasn't enough. They weren't Harleys.
So the police arrive back at his apartment, and she says, "No, thank you. I don't need the police. I don't need the police. I'm just waiting for a friend." And so they're talking to her inside, and she's not letting on in any way that anything's wrong. So while a couple of officers are speaking to her, a couple of more officers are outside, and they look in the Corvette. And what they see is a garbage bag. So they take it out. And of course, you know, because he called and said that she needed help. Yeah, she killed him. So they start looking around. Open up the garbage bag. And I don't think they dumped it out. Maybe they did. I don't know. But they initially opened it up and they looked in it, and it was organs. Which, you know, it's Texas.
Tina?
I'm just saying, it's Texas. So it could
so far,
they're carrying around gallbladders.
Yeah, let's not offend any of our Texas listeners
about,
right
like,
now.
Like deer it's and stuff Texas. Like that.
Okay.
Because I remember driving. I don't know if you remember, but we were driving on the way to my parents one time, and there was like this like skeleton like thing with like
a deer.
And I thought it was like a human because it was like the rib cage, and you were like, no, that's a deer. So I'm just saying, maybe they thought.
Well, yeah, I know. I just wanted to clarify.
No, we're not trying to offend
Texas people. Aren't crazy.
I just meant hunting
bags
of stars at night.
No.
Are big and bright.
I'm just saying because you're like, it's Texas.
I meant hunting. Oh my
I know.
Okay, so anyway, it was a bag of organs, and what I was leading up to, Mister, was the fact that when they opened up, one of the guys walked up and he was like, "Do you see those?" And the other guy's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "That's lungs." And he said, "But did you see the nicotine stains on the lungs?"
Oh my God.
Those are human remains.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was a smoker. So you could. That's what I was leading up to.
I know, but I mean,
he's
okay,
trying to be the coroner.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, but that was kind of creepy. I thought that you could actually see. So then they were like, okay, we're going to take you in. So they take her in, and she's still like, not whatever. So if you've ever seen, like, you know, like the interrogations on TV, they all sit down at a table. Well, she didn't sit down. She was up, like, pacing back and forth, and they sat down.
Looking
and
real innocent.
Yeah. You know, she looked real innocent, and she had scratches all over her. She even had, like, a gash, okay, on her foot behind her big toe, like, toward her, the arch of her foot. It was, like, a straight-up just gash, like, going straight down. So they took pictures of all that. You know, so she's looking
something
all...
Something did happen. I mean, they must have had some kind of fight, or
she's looking all pitiful, you know, and they've got all the pictures of her face and her hands and this gash on her foot and her stomach and legs. There's all kinds of gashes and scratches everywhere.
What if they're self-inflicted?
She fell down a hill.
So...
What if they're self-inflicted?
They said... I don't know, Steve. We'll see. So, they keep talking to her, and she's, like, not giving them anything. And they said, okay, where's Bill? And she's like, I don't know, but I know he's alive, and I think he killed somebody, and he left me with the stuff, so I had to get help.
She should have done the self-defense thing.
He left me with the random bag of
He left me with a bag of organs, you know, because it's Texas.
Steve, I'm never going to get to live that down. So,
that needs to be a t-shirt because it's Texas.
It's Texas.
No.
Anyway.
So,
I don't think we'll have any sponsors ever from Texas now. Thanks, Tina.
I meant because of the hunting. Y'all, seriously, because of the hunting. Anyway, so finally she starts kind of admitting, okay.
Yeah.
He abused me and he was really mean and he beat me and he raped me. And they were like, okay, now that's, you know, that's a, you know, real claim, you know, if you've been abused, if you've been raped, you know, let's go ahead and go to the hospital and get you checked out, you know.
Yeah.
So they took her to the hospital and she got, you know, a rape kit done. She got checked for all the bruises and stuff. And the rape kit actually, both vaginally and anally, came back negative. There was no trauma. Nothing. Yeah. So that was ruled out, you know, as far as the hospital was concerned. So they go back to interrogating her at the police station. Well, during this time, they sent a group of police officers back to Bill and her apartment. And when they enter the apartment, of course, the first thing they see is all the computer stuff that I was talking about. And that's right away right there.
When she talks about the computers, all I can think of is that Will Smith movie where he's trying to sell those computers. That's all I can think of every time she says the house has like a bunch of computers in it. Because he at one time had like 2 seconds.
And cut.
Like, you go to hell!
And scene. Cut. That's a wrap. Let's go.
Oh my God. So anyway, they go around the computers and they go into the rest of the house and they start searching it. And one of the first things they see is the bedroom. And it was a 2-poster bed. And both of the posts were cut off. Okay. And they see the mattress has no sheets, no pillows, no, you know, pillowcases, nothing. Everything's stripped. Yeah. But the bed is completely soaked in blood.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that it even...
stuff off of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, so much so that it even went straight down to the box springs. And the box springs were completely soaked in blood as well.
Wow, so went through the mattress into the box.
Went all the way through to the box springs.
A lot of blood.
So that is telling me that's where he was killed, you know. They see that and they're like, okay. Well, they make their way. I had read somewhere that in the bathroom there was a skinned torso hanging up on hangers.
Yeah. That's a little Texas Chainsaw Massacre there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yuck. It is Texas.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, they go in the kitchen and they see bags of more stuff, you know, more garbage bags that are like the other one that was in the car. So, they look through that and there's skin.
Ew.
And there's meat and there's...
Yeah, so, like, you know, if it's self-defense, usually you don't go through the whole thing of skinning and taking out the organs and
taking
all that.
Out
so,
the lungs
it kind of puts a little bit of...
Taking out.
Puts a little bit to her self-defense claim. I mean, it was. It still could have been, but she was definitely, this was more than just killing, killing to stop him from raping her.
That's right. And she, they also found turkey meat and leftovers from the meal in there. Like, she had just put it in there.
With the regular trash.
Yeah. Where if somebody had just glanced in there, they would have thought, oh, okay.
Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
So they went through and they found in, they found in a frying pan his hands.
Oh.
And I'm not going to lie, the pictures are extremely disturbing. Yeah. Because his fingertips were all brown.
Yeah.
You know, in the side cooked. Of his hand.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, they thought maybe she must have been trying to get rid of the fingerprints, you know, but it was in a frying pan.
Well, that makes
sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible, but yeah, she must have been burning off fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Think you're looking good.
And then they found, they also found his feet and, you know, part of a leg in there. And they were.
In where?
And I think they found him in a trash bag. Okay. I think that was in the trash bag. And they could see there was bruising around the ankles. And, you know, you don't bruise like
tied up.
After. Yeah, that's what they said. They think that he was tied up because of the ligature marks and, this, you know, all the bruising.
Mm-hmm.
So they looked in the fridge, and then they looked in the freezer. And behind some, like, mixed vegetables and some hot dogs, there was, like, this ball-looking thing that was wrapped in tinfoil. And they took that out. And I'm sure they figured what it was, you know, but they unwrapped it, and it was his head. It was had been placed in a deep-fat fryer, which that had to be a big fryer to hold a head. So I don't know if it was, like, a round one that maybe she used to pot. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
She had tried to burn it, and his face
so it
was
be unrecognizable again.
It was completely disfigured.
Well, that's the
they
thing.
Couldn't
they
couldn't tell who
know,
it was.
The hardest
but
part
assumed.
For all these murders is what to do with the body.
Well, know? That's what I'm saying, and I don't think people realize once you...
Call back to our Jeffrey Dahmer episode if you haven't listened to it. Go
he
back and listen to it. He did a lot
freezer.
Of stuff, and he used acid to get rid of his bodies.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
But, you know, when you kill somebody, I don't think people really take into account what next. You know, they kill somebody.
Well, same with, like, murder weapons and everything. You got to get rid of the evidence, and it's hard to get rid of.
Yeah, you do. And
especially the body, because if there's no body, there's no crime. Sometimes. And people still get convicted with they're never finding a body. But
yeah, that's true.
It's very rare, though. It's a lot rarer.
It is rare. And the thing was, she was a little thing. So, you know, Bill was, I think, 253 pounds. You know, and he was tall, so there was a lot of Bill. You know, for her to dismember him, it's like... You know, well, apparently all the blood on the bed, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you start trying to saw and do whatever, but that's physical. I mean, that's a lot of labor. A
lot of work.
It takes a lot.
I've heard other things, people and stuff talking, it's difficult to saw through bones.
Oh, I bet.
It's not just like an easy task. You know, I imagine of dismembering a body, I think there's a lot to it.
Yeah, I do too. There's a lot of parts, you know, a lot of bones. A lot of, you know, fat and muscle and everything.
A lot of
you know,
evidence to leave behind,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Bone shards.
So after, you know, discovering all of this, they're like, okay, clearly. So they take Bill's body, or they assume it's Bill's body, to the coroner. And he actually pieced him together pretty good.
Yeah.
Which also made him nervous because he said, these were clean cuts. These were... Almost look professional, so
like
makes
surgical.
Me wonder, has she done this before? And then they started thinking, you know, maybe, but they didn't know for sure, and they never really tied anything else to her, but it kind of, you know, threw him for a loop there. But then...
There's no telling what she did in Egypt.
Well...
I mean...
Yeah, seriously.
She was teenager?
Well, maybe, she might have been, I mean...
Egypt's
she might have also known how to, like, clean animals. Hunting.
That makes
stuff.
Sense. So the whole thing of this.
I mean,
maybe.
It's. But no, I'm just saying. You know, it could be from that. Maybe.
Yeah, we just don't know. And you know, they. So the coroner, said he had one problem though. There was like over 100 pounds of him missing. You know, even with all the organs, even with all
like,
the skin,
like flesh missing, 100 pounds of flesh, and
100 pounds of Bill.
Of him, like with everything that was still like with the weight of everything,
100 pounds, so almost half of him was missing.
And they wanted to know, you know, what happened. Well, the first thing they did was go out and start interviewing people around the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And one neighbor had said he remembers because it drove him crazy that the garbage disposal ran for 3 days straight nonstop.
Yeah.
And it was just grinding and grinding. So,
yeah.
You would think that would stop after a while.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've never had a house with a garbage disposal.
I did.
Well, she must have been. She must. I just wonder if she tried to grind the bone and everything.
It was like waiting for something.
I just kind of was thinking back.
You did. I wish I could have, because seeing you go, I did. And then you like looked up to the sky like, memories.
It was horrible.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can chop up bones and stuff in them, can you?
No.
I don't know, but he
maybe
said.
Maybe like a chicken wing bone, but I mean that's.
He said it abruptly stopped, so it sounds a bit like she broke it, or maybe she just gave up. Yeah. I don't know.
I would assume so after 3 days.
I see.
I need that kind of garbage disposal in my house.
She, I don't, yeah, industrial.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's Texas, so they.
Maybe, time I mean, stop. Maybe, it's Texas, hey, maybe.
How come when I say something, it's time to stop, but y'all kiss. So after looking at all that, they went back and looked at the pictures they had taken of her. And they noticed that she had all these cuts. And they said that those cuts were clearly lined up with somebody that was dismembering a body. So that one on her foot, I think she was holding down something and just saw the foot.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's what I think.
Well, you know, a lot of times people, like, in like stabbing stuff, like when somebody will stab somebody, their hand will slip down over the handle and they'll cut themselves on the knife, you know?
That's true.
And a lot of times people get wounded while they're killing other people or stuff like that. So it makes sense.
That's what I was thinking anyway. I mean, I can say I'm not a professional, but that made me think that when they said that it lined up with everything. Well, after all this, they go back and they start talking to her again. And she starts acting like really strange, you know? She starts talking to herself and saying weird stuff, and then she says something like, it was the demons. They told me, you know, what to do. And then
it's always
she changed
working
it.
Working on that insanity plea.
But then she changed it and said that it wasn't demons. I think it was like maybe not the right word she was looking for. She said it was actually past Egyptians that were coming through her.
Oh,
telling Amun her. Ra. Telling her what to do, you know, exactly everything. So she was like possessed by the past Egyptians.
Okay.
So that's what she said. And then she stopped and said, I need to talk to somebody. So they were like, yeah, that sounds good. So they let her go see a psychiatrist.
Oh, no, a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, lawyer. But no, it was a psychiatrist, which, I mean, that makes sense too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She crazy.
And
she cray cray.
She had talked to her, you know, and did all these things. And she actually, well, the cops had told her, you know, if you can, we'd like to know what happened
fully,
to some
like
of, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You know,
and
yeah, like what happened to some of Bill that we can't account for, you know, because I think, well, yeah, she chopped some up, but there's no way that she ground.
She can get
100 pounds.
No.
So after talking to the psychiatrist, she reported back that she told her that she cooked Bill's ribs in the oven, and she cooked them with barbecue sauce, just like she liked them. And
oh
that
my God.
I'm never going to look at ribs again.
I'm telling you. Well, she said.
So she ate.
Mm-hmm, and she said they were so sweet. In fact, there was nothing sweeter than Bill's ribs.
End quote. Yikes.
Well, and there's no way too that was. I mean,
I wonder if that's true. Or if she was just trying to do the insanity thing. I mean, did she really eat his ribs? Probably did.
I don't know.
She probably did.
I mean, I don't know if she did or not, but let's just say that she
probably did.
She's at the point where she's got bags and bags of Bill. She's ground him up for days.
Oh, yeah. She's
And she's like, well, I guess I could start eating some of them. They can't find
that. Oh, yeah, maybe she's trying to get
rid of
them.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, but the ribs, like, they don't usually identify somebody by the ribs. Anyway, I'm not trying to.
No, I don't know.
It's
I don't just, know
it,
either.
It's disturbing.
It is
either way.
Off
it's
of it.
Either way, it's disturbing.
It is disturbing, and you know that took her level up to took it to another level.
She cranked it up to 11.
Yeah. So yeah, really. And then they still didn't really know how he died because she didn't really say.
Yeah.
You know, she just kept saying that she was defending herself, and we're not saying that. You know, I mean, abuse is a bad thing.
Yeah,
we're not saying,
she
could have
went crazy and had enough. She just kept
getting. But they still, yeah, and they just still wanted to know.
He might have abused her, fell asleep, she tied him up, and killed him.
Mm-hmm. And finally, an old boyfriend came forward, and he was an older gentleman, too.
Yeah.
And he said that, yeah, she had a temper. And one time, she had talked to him, and they, you know, nobody knew about this yet.
Yeah.
So, but one, he said that one time she had tied him up to the bed and the promise of, you know, let's go fool around, do something kinky. You know? So she tied him to the bed.
Yeah.
And once she had him tied up, she pulled a gun and put it to his face and said, I want you to give me whatever. I don't know if it was money
She probably did that to Bill.
Yeah. So he said he actually, one of his hands wasn't tied good, so he got loose and took the gun away from her and chased her out of the apartment. But he was so embarrassed, he didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You know, but that, after that, people had said, you know, she did that.
Well, what year does this take place?
1991.
91? Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's not something that he wanted to tell everybody. But now that it was out that she had killed Bill, he wanted to, you know, say that. And then, you know, several boyfriends had said after that, you know, she would, you know, get mad and ask them for money or, you know, a car or something. You know, she would steal something from them or threaten them to get something. So then they started piecing together, okay, that's what happened to Bill. She tied him up with the promise of sexual games. And then, you know, I don't know if she wanted money or maybe she won the Corvette. I don't know, you know. And
We'll
never know.
Bill's not talking.
Bill's not talking. What happened was he said no, and then she got mad and hit him over the head with a lamp. And there was a broken lamp in one of the bags.
Oh, okay.
And then she got mad after that and got a clothes iron. And
she hit him with a clothes iron?
No, they're putting together.
Oh, from
because they found a clothes iron that had hair and flesh in it.
Oh, so it was
hot.
Oh,
so did she like burn his face with the clothes iron?
I don't know, but she hit him with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and then after that, she started stabbing him with scissors, and she stabbed him like 30-something times, so it was completely overkill.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no way he was going to live through that. He could live through getting hit but not being stabbed 30-something times.
Well, and if the bed was as soaked as it was, he pretty much just bled every bit of his blood out.
That's what I think.
If it was that saturated.
Yeah.
And she, you know, like, I guess she took the post off because, you know, I don't know why.
Well, we don't know, but
we don't know. He was tied to the bed. I don't know. So
maybe he broke them trying to get free.
I didn't think about that.
They break easy. Remember, we had that 4-post bed, and I was just leaning on that one and bust it.
They do break easy. My dad's always like, don't touch the post. I remember growing up. Okay, so after all the evidence, she was brought to trial. And at first, she tried to play insanity, but that didn't really go over. So they decided just to go ahead and do a regular trial. And she was convicted of second degree murder on January 12th, 1993. And she was sentenced to 27 years to life.
Dang. And white boy Rick is still in jail.
I cannot believe.
Sorry, I just watched a documentary on white boy Rick.
Okay, so she came out for parole twice. The first time, they thought she was still a menace to society. She was a danger. The second time, she didn't take any, you know, claim responsibility. She didn't show any remorse. Mm-hmm. I think she did like an apology to the family, but she's like, I'm sorry that you lost him, but I only did what I had to do. You know, basically not really. I mean, it's not an apology, but not really an apology.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's up for parole again in like 2026, so it's coming up.
Yeah, well, pretty soon she'll be out, right? What time?
It's 27 to life.
Oh, to life.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know,
she'll get out. She's going to get out eventually.
You might see her coming out on Google Maps. She's like walking out of the prison. Now, Christine, you had read something earlier about...
Well, yeah, you told about me her getting married. Or yeah, she... I don't remember if they got married or not, but she found a pen pal.
I think they did.
And he, like... I think they got married, but I'm not 100% sure. But I do know they got really close, and he died and left her everything. So, Mammy's rich.
Oh, really? So she's got some money when she comes out.
Yeah, and they had, I saw they had, like, conjugal visits. Even.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was, like, it's old.
And it was an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an old man.
Of course it's an old man. That's her type.
Yeah, it really is. So, that's all we have about Omima until 2026. And if we're still here, we could do like a thing to
we'll
see
do
what
an
she
update
is.
On her.
We'll do an update.
Her court case.
We're also thinking about doing a, like, little mini episodes every so often. So, look for that coming up. We're going to do a little what have we learned so far in the podcast. And they'll probably only be like 10 minutes or so, just to lighten things up. But, thanks for joining us. It's after midnight, so get to bed. It's a little late.
It is late, especially if you got to get up early.
Yeah, we know what that's like. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it.